Well, are you ready for the Word of God this morning? I want you to turn in your Bibles to Romans chapter 8. We'll get there in a couple minutes. But I want to just bring some review and things. We've been doing a lot of review, and hopefully today we will finish this message that we started 3 weeks ago. But Leviticus 11, 44 and 45, and this is one of the basic scriptures that we've been using, is, "For I am the Lord your God. You shall therefore consecrate yourselves, and you shall be holy, for I am holy. Neither shall you defile yourselves with any creeping thing that creeps on the earth, for I am the Lord who brings you up out of the land of Egypt to be your God. You shall therefore be holy, for I am holy." Very definitely, he says, you shall be holy. Now, when we talk about being holy, you know, one of the first questions that I usually hear or sense from people is, why? What purpose is it to be holy? It's all about restrictions. It's about what you can't do. And we forget that to be holy, and we talked about a little bit in Sunday school, we approached the subject a little bit, of living holy gets you into the favor of God, to where you don't have to depend on His unmerited grace all the time, of just hoping God will intervene, but you can get to a place by living holy that you move into the favor of God, of where His blessings work for you on a regular basis, and you can always depend on it because you're living holy. There's a benefit to this. And Psalm 103 says this, "Bless Yahweh, O my soul." This is what it says in the Hebrew. "Bless Yahweh, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits." All His benefits. God has benefits. Amen? His benefits are good. And he says, don't forget this. Don't forget this. This is crucial. In Psalm 68, 19, I like this. He says, "Blessed be the Lord," which is Adonai, "blessed be Adonai, who daily loads us with benefits, the God of our salvation." It says, Adonai, the Lord, our God, Yahweh, daily loads us with benefits. Now, how many of you would like to go to Walmart and have them daily load you up with blessings? You know, load you up with big screen TVs, load you up with computers, load you up with toilet paper, whatever you need. They've got it at Walmart, man. They can load you up every day. And what you lack one day, you can go back the next day and get loaded up with it again. Amen? I mean, you can have anything you want. So this is how God wants to load you up daily with benefits. But, you know, if you don't think Walmart has anything, you won't go to Walmart to shop. If you believe their shelves are empty, you won't bother to go. If someone tells you, hey, I just came from Walmart, and I want to tell you they don't have anything on their shelves at all, you won't go to Walmart. Why? Because you heard a bad report. Aren't you glad God is better than Walmart? I've never seen Walmart shelves open, so I would kind of disbelieve somebody, at least this afternoon, if someone said Walmart's all sold out. I would just, yeah, right. They might be sold out about what you want, but they may still have gobs of what I want. Amen? But God isn't like that. God has an ever-abundant supply. He never runs out. He can load me up with benefits every single day, and you know, He still has enough left over to load you up with all the same benefits. He has an unlimited supply. He can bless you, bless me, bless everybody in this place, and still have enough left over to give to everybody else and meet the needs of the entire world. Yeah. Isn't that a good God? Yeah. That's a wonderful God to have. Forget not all His benefits, and He is the Lord Adonai who daily loads us with benefits. Now, why is this important? It's important because of Hebrews 11, 6. It says, "But without faith it is impossible to please Him, for he who comes to God must believe that He is," or that He exists, "and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him." How many of you believe that God will reward you if you diligently seek Him? See, some people say, yeah, but I didn't get my reward. Well, how diligent were you? I'm serious. How diligent were you? It is a whole lot. When I say this, I always think about it, I'm wearing glasses. Well, how diligently are you seeking the Lord? I like Oral Roberts. Somebody asked him one time, says, how come if you're a faith healer and you've healed all these people and you've seen miracles and you've seen new eyes and you've seen vision restored, how come you're wearing glasses? He looked at him and says, it's easier. I mean, every morning, it may be a nuisance, but every morning I can just reach over and pick up my glasses, put them on. I have 20/20 vision. Isn't that wonderful? But now, if I didn't have glasses, I'd want to believe God a lot more for my healing. Because I wouldn't want to go around like this all the time. I tell people I have to get clear vision, I got about 6 inches. Everything else is fuzzy. I can see colors. I can see what I think are heads. You know, but it's like, I need the glasses. But if I don't have it in the natural, I'm going to seek it a lot more diligently in the spiritual. Amen? You know what I'm saying? So it's not, well, how come God hasn't healed your eyes? Well, I really haven't sought it. I'm content to just put on glasses every day. Well, does that ruin your testimony? Well, to some, to others, it doesn't make any difference. But I told you about Emmanuel Wintrow. God healed him of leukemia in 4 weeks. You know, just because he thought about the goodness of God. See, when you're desperate, it makes a lot more difference how you believe. Mike Murdoch says, all faith begins at a point of desperation. And if you're not desperate, we have a tendency to just accept things as they are.
That's right. That's right. We do.
That's the natural way of things. We don't put out effort if we don't have to. Maybe that's the laziness in us. I don't know, but it's like, but that's the truth. That's how most of us tend to go. If I've got food in the fridge, I'm not going to make a run down to Walmart. But if I can't find anything in the house to eat, I don't care if it's 1 o'clock in the morning, I'm going to go to Walmart. I'm going to find me a snack someplace, or 7-Eleven or Sheetz or someplace. I'm going to go because I'm hungry and I'm going to get something to eat. You know, I'm desperate and I'm going to do something about it. So he says, God is a rewarder. This is how faith operates. God is a rewarder of those who diligently seek after him. But now, we've said this over and over, but if I don't believe in the reward, I won't seek him. If there's no benefit in it, if I believe healing has passed away, I'm not going to diligently seek God to heal me because my mindset has already said it has passed away. Because someone gave me a bad report. Oh, I tried that faith stuff and it didn't work for me. Well, I'm not you. Amen? I'm not you. You know, the obstacles you have to overcome are not the same obstacles I have to overcome. We each have our own hurdles. We each have our own struggles in these areas. And you said, amen, that's right. Now, to put all this with Psalm 10:13, and I think this is just an amazing verse. He says, why do the wicked renounce God? Well, he has said in his heart, you will not require an account. In a simple way, it's saying, God won't see what I do, and there is no reward, therefore, good or bad for what I do. Now, the wicked man is using that, if I can get by and I can mistreat people and I can steal and I can rob, and God won't see and he won't reward me for my evilness or my bad works. But Christians fall into that same category of we'll do good things and we don't believe God sees us and God doesn't reward us. And we'll not do those things. Jesus said it like this. He said, you have an evil heart of unbelief. Unbelief, not believing God, is an evil heart. We don't want evil hearts, amen? We don't want to go in that direction. Now, have you found Romans 8? I'm not going to read the whole thing, but I'm just doing this for review yet and to put it in a more concise way. Romans 8 verse 1 says, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus who do not walk according to the flesh but according to the Spirit. Jump down to verse 5. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit set their mind on the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. Let's read 8 and 9. So then, those who are in the flesh cannot please God. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his, or he does not belong to Christ. Now, this is talking about comparisons, and it's talking about the comparisons are walking in the flesh or walking in the Spirit. To walk in the flesh, we've been saying this, is to walk in that which is temporary. Is to have your vision stuck on what is temporary. To walk in the Spirit is to see Yahweh, is to see the eternal beyond the temporary, is to see that which does not change, that which is everlasting, is to see the greatness and the permanence of who Yahweh is. The Bible tells us Yahweh changes not. In Malachi 3:6, he says, "For I am Yahweh, I do not change." It's pretty simple, isn't it? I do not change. So walking in the Spirit is beginning to walk with our eyes set on the eternal, that which does not change. Where walking in the flesh is walking in that which is temporary, that which is fading, that which is passing away. Now this world is fading. This world is passing away right before us. Nothing is constant. That's why the longest empire that's ever existed in the world has only existed about two to 300 years. It's temporary. Yeah, 200 to 300 years is a long time. Yeah, it is, unless you're at the end of the 200 or 300 years. When you're at the end of it, everything seems to change, and you realize how fragile things are. We are the closest in this day and age that I have ever seen of worshiping a person. I could never understand about Hitler how people could worship him almost as a god. I couldn't understand Rome or in Egypt where they worship the emperor as God. It's like, who does this kind of stuff? And we are as close to it today as ever. And why? Because we're looking for a savior. We're looking for a person to step in and redeem us from all the curse and to fix everything and just say the word. And we are closer to that today than ever before. And I'm telling you, it's all going to pass away. It's all going to pass away because we know who the Savior is. He is Jesus Christ. He was dead and has been raised from the dead and is seated at the right hand of the Father forever and ever. Amen. But we're watching things fade away, things that we thought couldn't change. We're watching them literally collapse around us today. And that's why we've got to believe in God and Yahweh who gives us a reward. Amen. Now, there's five things we've been saying. I want to just go through these and not spend a lot of time on them today with God's help, because it's hard for me to do that because I'm still feeding on these myself. The first thing is, focusing on the temporary is to focus on what is passing away or temporary. We cannot see Yahweh, who never changes, who is eternal and permanent. Hebrews 13:8 says, Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So when you're walking in the flesh, you're looking at that which is temporary. The second thing, when you walk in the flesh, you are focusing on the temporary. And again, that causes us to live in fear of losing what we have because we know instinctively that which is temporary is passing away. You cannot, again, you cannot see Yahweh's benefits or rewards or the benefit of serving Yahweh because His benefits, His rewards are also seen as temporary. And because of that, we lose sight of the reward because if we're only looking at the temporary, we look at the things of God and say, well, they must be temporary too because we're trying to compare God against temporary things instead of the other way around. Now, this also complicates matters because when you're focusing on the temporary and living in fear of losing what you have, nothing you do seems to be good enough to get any reward that Yahweh would offer. Because if His rewards are temporary, well, even if God has rewards, I could never be good enough to earn His reward. And so we fall into this. But we have to remember Yahweh blesses us because of who He is, not because of who you are. You are right. There's nothing you can do that's good enough to deserve the benefits of Yahweh, and yet Yahweh says, if you walk upright before me, I'll bless you. If you obey me, I'll bless you. How many in this church have obeyed God perfectly without any error, without any fault for your life? Anybody? No, none of us come that perfect. Well, then how do you get how many of you have been blessed by God? Yeah, we've all been blessed. Well, did you get blessed because of how good you walked or because of your faithfulness and God overlooked all the junk? Because of his faithfulness and he overlooked my junk. That's how I got blessed. But I'm doing the best I know, and I have to admit I don't know everything, but see, if I'm looking at everything passing away and rewards being temporary, then I begin to develop the attitude, whatever I do for God is not good enough to get a reward for. And when you start living like that, pretty soon you just quit and give up because it doesn't matter anyway. Now the third thing, well, I'll close with this. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, for Yahweh made him, Jesus, who knew no sin, to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in Yahweh, or righteousness of Yahweh in Jesus. See, it's what he did for us. He was made to be sin with our sin. We are made to be righteous with his righteousness. Praise God, it's not mine. It's a gift. It's how God sees me through his eyes, not because I'm perfect or I've done everything exactly right, but praise God, I can get into that place of righteousness with him. The third thing about walking in the flesh is that focusing on the temporary is death, since it causes us to walk in strife with Yahweh. Because we cannot reconcile the temporary with Yahweh's eternal nature. And this is what a lot of people get into trouble on. They're trying to equate the two, the temporary and the spiritual or the eternal, and they just cannot reconcile the temporary and the eternal, and so we walk in strife with Yahweh. Keep your place there in Romans. Real quick, I'm going to turn to James 1, 6 and 8, because this says it real well. James chapter 1, 6 and 8, he says, but let him ask in faith with no doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all of his ways. He's unstable because he cannot reconcile the temporary and the eternal. He sees the two in conflict, and he because he's trying to hold on to the temporary, he can't justify, well, if God is eternal, why do these things happen? It's the same old question, if God is good, why does he allow bad things to happen to people? And it's called sin. God didn't will it. He didn't choose it. It's not his choice, but bad things happen to us because of sin. It may be your sin. It may be the sin of your parents. It may be the sin of the culture that you grew up in. It may be, but it's the end result is, it's in causation of it, is sin has messed us up. Sometimes it's ours. Sometimes it's Adam's. Death came into the world through Adam. It's Adam's fault I'm the way that I am. See, it's not even Debbie's fault. It's Adam's fault. He's my problem. He's the one that I have issues with. But somewhere along the line, because I'm trying to live in the temporary and I cannot justify that with the spiritual, I'm in conflict with God, in strife with him, and I'm walking in death. Amos 3:3 says, how can two walk together unless they be agreed? If I cannot agree with God, how can I walk with him? If I cannot walk in the Spirit or walk in that which is eternal and agree with God, how can I get the benefits of it? See, I'm always in conflict. I'm always fighting things out in my head if I'm walking in the flesh. The fourth thing about walking in the flesh is when I focus on the temporary, I tend to walk in condemnation. Again, Romans 8:1 says, therefore there is now no condemnation of those who are in Christ Jesus. But it doesn't stop there. For those who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. If I walk in the eternal, there is no condemnation for me. But if I'm constantly walking and living out of the flesh, there is always going to be condemnation because I'm trying to please God by walking in natural things, and I can't do that. I begin to get to the point of where there's no benefit of doing what is right because no reward is eternal. Because everything's passing away. And this is a problem a lot of people have with God. How can you say God is eternal when I see everything around me fading away? Because God is not in the natural. We can see his effect in the natural, but God is not natural. It's like seeing the wind, but not being able to see what causes it. So we're looking at the natural, trying to understand God, but the natural reveals God, but it doesn't show us God. Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. And say, well, what does that mean? It means if you see the eternal things in me, you've seen the Father. If you see that which never changes in me, you've seen the Father already. And Jesus lived his life so to point us to the Father. Now, when I begin to understand that Yahweh has benefits, I can begin finally to live by faith. But if there's no benefit, it's hard for me to live by faith. But if I understand the benefits of God, I can begin to live by faith because of the benefits, I begin to trust God that if I serve God, I will get the benefits. Does that make sense? If I believe that it's worth my while to serve God, I can live in faith because if I live in faith, I know I will get to heaven when I die. I know not only will I go to heaven when I die, but I can begin to get benefits in this life by serving God. Isn't it amazing? See, he who comes to God must believe that he is. I've got to first realize God does exist. I've got to settle that. There is a God. And I've got to believe that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. So if I do the right thing, there's a benefit in it for me. The benefit may be eternal life, but it includes more than that. It includes healing. It includes prosperity. It includes peace. It includes a whole array of things that the Bible promises for us to have if we will obey him. If we will begin to walk in the Spirit, in that which is eternal, there are benefits of doing that. This is why faith confesses what we have in Christ and not the circumstances, because we're confessing that which is eternal over that which is temporary and subject to change. Again, Yahweh is the same yesterday, today, and forever. I'm going to agree with what is permanent and not what is temporary in my life. The fifth thing about walking in the flesh is that by focusing on the temporary causes us eventually to slack off of our righteousness because we don't see a benefit in it. If I walk long enough in the flesh, if my Christianity is based on living in the flesh, eventually it will cause me to back off because I don't see the reward of it. I will stop doing the right thing. I'll cut corners in order to get the benefits because I don't trust God will give them to me. So I'll begin to lie and cheat and manipulate people to be sure I get what I want because I don't no longer trust in God. See, this is why I've got to believe that God is my rewarder. If I do the right thing, there's a benefit to it. If I do the wrong things, there is a result for doing those wrong things. Now, go to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Oh, this takes so much time to give us the groundwork. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And hold your place there in Corinthians because we're coming back. Verses 12, 13, and 14. It says, now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. These things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. We are not comparing spiritual things with natural things. We are comparing spiritual things with spiritual. See, now, we understand that being spiritual because we have the Spirit who is from God, that we might know, understand, comprehend, grasp, realize the things that God has freely given to us, like grace, like mercy, forgiveness. But it also includes healing, righteousness, holiness, abundance, prosperity, peace. See, it also includes all these other things, but we compare them with spiritual things. In other words, the things that we know that we've got from God, we begin to compare them with God. We compare them in who God is, in the person of God. And we say, in God, you know, we're healed because the Word says so, but we're also healed because God, in whom there is nothing but good, in whom there is no shadow of turning, God cannot have sickness or disease because He's God. So we're comparing spiritual with spiritual things. God can't give me disease because He doesn't have disease. If I walk in God, He will not allow me to walk in poverty because God has no poverty. If God is going to bless me, He's going to bless me in other ways too. Now, I can live at whatever level of income I choose to live at, but God will always cause me to bless. Now, I'll say that, I'll use us as an example. Most of you know we don't get a full paycheck, but yet we live in a house that's paid off for, a nice home. It's not luxurious, but it's nice. It's not a big home, but it's a nice home. We own a car, a nice car, and it's a very nice car, but we own it without any payments. We're not in debt for anything. And yet, if you look at our paycheck and look at what we've received, you say, look, there's no way that you can live at that level. We read the other day in a survey that came out, we are in the poverty line. And yet if anybody would see us and how we live and the clothes we dress with and the car that we drive, they say, I'll tell you what, one guy told me, he says, if I didn't know you and know what was going on, he said, I would say you are independently wealthy. And I just looked at him and said, well, we are. My father owns a cattle on 1,000 hills. And He can sell them anytime He wants to and bless us. But I'll tell you, we walk in blessings. We walk in the goodness of God because we have been faithful. Not that we've done everything perfect. We've been faithful. And God rewards us because of those things. And I'm telling you, Debbie and I are examples to you that if you will do the right thing, God will bless you. Amen. Amen. See, there's a reward for serving God. He said, yeah, but you've just got a small little church. Well, yeah, but we're mighty in the things of God. We are doing a lot of things that larger churches than us don't do. We're doing a lot of stuff, and it's only by the blessing, by the mercy of God that we do these things. Now, he goes on in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, or in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14, but the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. See, the natural man, when you start talking about how God will bless you, I just don't understand that. I know you don't understand that. Yeah, but you don't understand. I don't understand that. I know you don't understand that. You don't understand how you can make a poverty income and be blessed. You don't understand. I know you don't understand that. Why? It's a blessing of God. I don't know how it works. We don't go to the bank and one day find someone's put $2,000 in our bank account. That's never happened. We don't get what they call the charismatic or the Pentecostal handshake where people shake hands and give us $50 bills. It doesn't happen. God is our provider. We don't have a private benefactor that's backing us up except for God. But He does it. And He does it well. Thank you, Jesus. You know, He does a good job of it. I'm happy with it. Praise God. It's like, because I know there's a reward, I can preach about the rewards because I'm proof of it. I've experienced it. It's in my life. Say, yeah, but you've never been out begging for bread. You've never had it rough like some people had. Well, the Bible says I've never seen the righteous begging for bread. A lot of these ministers, and praise God, God's brought them out of poverty. But a lot of these ministers, you know, that started out in poverty and they had to believe God to put a loaf of bread on the table, is because they were living up in sin up to that point. And then they got converted and said, I read in the Bible, well, God will bless us. And they began to come out of it. Debbie and I, even before we were, quote, Christians, and we were still doing the right thing. We still didn't lie. We didn't cheat. We weren't taking advantage of people. And God has blessed us from day one. We look at each other sometimes that we have lived a blessed life because we've been raised in church. We've never violated those principles beyond so far. We were in sin. We had to get born again. We were in death. But yet, even in that, because we were following the principles of God, there was still a blessing. Mm-hmm. That's right. Because we were following His principles. We didn't know Him. We didn't know God as the blesser. We didn't know God as the rewarder, but we obeyed God to the best of our ability. Sometimes we obeyed God without even knowing we were obeying God, but we were doing it because it was the right thing to do. Hello. When we first got married, the first Sunday we went to church, Debbie looked at me. I'll never forget it. She looked at me. She says, "What are we going to put in the offering?" Dumb me. I'd never thought about it. I had like, offering? I mean, you know, I know Dad gave in the offering. He was a pastor, but he still gave in the offering. And I thought, I never thought about the offering. And she's looking to me as the head of the household. It's about the first time she looked at me as the head of the household. Might have been the last, she says. But, you know, she's looking, expecting me to make a decision. It's like, I don't know. What do you give? What dollar amount do you decide to put in? It's like, I didn't even know what salary I was making. I mean, I'd only been working for about a month. You know, I had no idea what was coming into the household. I didn't know what Debbie was working at the time. I had no clue what her salary was coming in the household. I didn't know, and I just looked at her and I gave a real spiritual answer. The Bible says you're to tithe. I guess we'll tithe. She, okay. For her, it was a done deal. So we have tithed from the day that we got married to today. We have always tithed in good times, in bad times. Several years ago, because we tithe to the church, and we give offerings to other ministries outside the church as well as giving offerings to the church, but we always tithe to the church. This is way off my subject, but you'll get the point. We obeyed God without really understanding the power of the tithe. We followed his instructions. We have never went begging for bread. Because God has always made supply because we've always been faithful with him. Let me give you an example of this. Because but you've never been through the hard times. We were fired from our first church. And before we were fired from our first church, this is because it was growing too fast. Isn't that a good reason to get fired? And that's what the chairman of the board came and told us. He said, "Your church is growing too fast, and we're going to have to get rid of you because we won't have control of the church if it keeps growing at this rate." And I just looked back at him and said, "I didn't know we were supposed to be in control. I thought the church belonged to God." I was so naive. I just, you know, this is the way it's supposed to be. And then it's God's church. It doesn't belong to me. It doesn't belong to you. So the question is, God, what would you have us do? Jesus taught us to pray, "Not my will, but your will be done, Father." If churches would pray like that, I think we'd all get along better. Amen. That is his church. What was my point? Oh, but before that, a bunch of people got upset with us because we were growing too fast and we weren't respecting all the elders and stuff like this, and because we were just out busy saving souls and loving people and preaching the Jesus that we knew, which was really basic at the time. And church members started withholding their money, started not giving their offerings to the church. And things got tight. And then the church started paying off bills ahead of time, like they paid the district apportionment ahead of time to be sure that they did not have money in the account to pay us our salary. It's like, well, what are we going to do? We've trusted God. That's all you do. You just trust God. And we had someone that came up that was on the church board, and he says, "Gordon, I understand that people are withholding their money and we don't have the money to pay you." And he says, here's he gave me cash. He says, "Here's money to get you through." We hadn't said anything. We hadn't said that we needed money. I mean, when I look back on it, I don't even think we were lacking, but it was nice to get the money. He did that a couple times. And when we got our paycheck and they had to pay us all the money they were withholding, like that really did them a whole lot of good too. We paid him back the money that he gave to us. We just gave it back to him. God has always met our need. When times got rough, God provided people to step in and say, "Here, go ahead and take this. I know what you're going through. Go ahead and take it." He just did it. We didn't beg. We didn't ask. We didn't go before the Lord. "Oh God, it's so rough, God." You know, it's like, we just trusted God. You keep doing what is the right thing to do, and God will bless you. You mean even in the hard times? Especially in the hard times. Especially when things get difficult. You keep doing what is right because God will reward the righteous. I've never seen the righteous forsaken. I've never seen the righteous begging for bread. But God is faithful to what he does. Amen. To who he is. He's freely given to us that we might know God, that we might understand who God is. Freely he does this so that we could walk with him. I'll close with this scripture. Go to 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2, first verse. My little children, these things I write to you so that you may not sin. And if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. A lot of these things that are written in the Bible about our reward, about God's faithfulness, about the fact that God never changes, he's the same yesterday, today, and forever, are written to us so that we don't sin. Again, if you're looking at the temporary, you're looking at the things that are passing away. When you begin to look at the temporary, you begin to get your eyes off of God, off of the eternal, and eventually you'll fall into the ways of the world because they're the ones who talk about natural things. Well, you've got to do this. You've got to invest in gold. You've got to invest in silver. You've got to be in the stock market. You've got to be. Well, you know, there's rich people that have never done any of those things. Go figure. You know, there's Christians that are well off that have never done any of those things. Why? How come they're still blessed? God. But see, the natural man can't understand this because he's always trying to figure out a way and connive and work all these things out. But if you trust God. Now, I'm not saying don't invest in gold. I'm not saying don't invest in gold. But I'm saying follow the Lord, what he would have you do. And listen to him. Walk in the Spirit. Walk in the things that are eternal. Do the things that are right. Forget those things that are behind you because all they do is put weight on you from going forward. You've got to put the past, as the movie said, you've got to put the behind in your past. You know, you got to put the past behind you. You've got to get over the hurts, over the disappointments, over the difficulties that you've had in your life. They are over with. Today's a new day. Old things have passed away. If they've passed away, we need to let them go. We need to cut those strings that tie us to those things. Let them go because all they are is a dead weight and you got to drag it around with you, drag it around with you. And it's time to cut the things off and let them go. See, I write these things to you that you sin not, that the weight of all the mistakes you've made in your life, that you won't repeat it. Why? Because we're looking at the eternal things. We're keeping our eyes focused on Jesus Christ. We're saying, Lord, here I am. I honor you, God, with my life, my soul, my mind, my finances, with all my strength. And I put you first place in my life. And he says, but if you do sin, if you catch yourself looking at the flesh, not the Spirit, praise God, we've got an advocate. We got somebody who's going to go before us. He's going to say, I know that person. I know they strayed a little bit, but I'm going to cover them. I'm going to cover them so that it's like nothing ever happened at all. See, that's where we get into this legalism of where we think we have to do everything perfect. It's like you've got to do everything with the right motive. You've got to do everything that you know to do that is right. But if you mess up, we still have an advocate with the Father. Yeah. And that advocate will step in. My dad always told a story about this man that died and went to heaven or went before the Lord. And the accuser comes out, and the accuser is pointing all kinds of things out. He did this, and he did that, and he did all these things. And he doesn't deserve to get into heaven. He doesn't deserve your grace. He doesn't deserve. And all the time, God is just looking at the devil. He's the accuser. And he's bringing all these accusations up. And how many of you know we all have a long list of things we can be accused of? Right or wrong, we can be accused of a lot of junk. And he said at the very last minute, God moved his eyes from the devil, the accuser, and looked at the person. And just as God's eyes were ready to meet the person, Jesus stepped in between. And the Father says, I don't find any fault in him. I see the holiness and righteousness in my son. Let him in. See, that's what an advocate is. I'm stepping in between. Yeah, you might have messed up in this life. You know, we probably all did. But he says, I write these things to you that you don't sin, that you don't begin to live that life of just walking according to the things of the flesh, that we let those things go, that we can keep our eyes on the spiritual things, on the good things. So when God looks at us, he says, I don't find any fault in that person. I just see the glory of my Son. Enter thou into the blessedness of God. Amen. Amen. Let's stand. We'll try to finish up next week. Try to not go through all the review and get to the point of it all. Amen. Praise God. Well, Father, we thank you. We thank you, Father, for your mercy. We thank you, Father, for your grace. But, Lord, we thank you for favor. Lord, that we can come before you and live holy and uprighteous before you. Father, not by our effort, but because of what Jesus has done for us. Lord, that we can walk in his righteousness. We can walk in his holiness. We can walk in his Spirit. We thank you, Father, that you've given us the Spirit to lead us and to guide us and to direct us into all the truth that we could live right before you. And Father, we give you praise and honor for Jesus, Father, who died for us and was raised from the dead that we might have newness of life. And Father, we choose to walk in the newness of life. We choose, Father, to keep our eyes on you and on the eternal. Father, to look at the things that are passing away in this world and to know that they're just temporary. Lord, but our mind, our heart is set on who you are and your blessings in our life, in our families, in our workplace, in our finances, in our church, our community, Father, and in every area of our lives, God, that your blessings would overflow everywhere we go. That we could truly say with David, goodness and mercy has followed me all the days of my life. For this, God, we give you the praise and the honor in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you.